So, in Texas, an extremely rich man was able in one swoop to buy 10 ranches. And he was bragging to his friend. He said, "Yeah, let me tell you about the new name my ranch has. It's the Circle Q, Rambling Brook, Double Bar, Broken Circle, Crooked Creek, Golden Horseshoe, Lazy B, Bent Arrow, Sleepy T, Triple O Ranch." "Whoa," said his friend, "you must have an awful lot of cattle." "Well, not really," replied the rancher. "Not many survived the branding." So, how are you doing with your branding? If you are a Christian, you are branded with that name when in faith you were baptized into Jesus Christ. But it's a name that by its very nature carries tough times and hardships. Jesus told us that the world hates him because he tells it that the way it lives is wrong, and that would bring hate down upon us. He also tells us that as Christians, we will face trouble. The apostles carry that through as they teach and say that we have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So, how have you been doing with your branding? Now, of course, it is all worth it. In fact, the apostle also says, one day in heaven, maybe not now, with our limited capacity, but one day in heaven, we are going to look back on every single hard, difficult, painful thing we have ever gone through. And from heaven's viewpoint, we're going to consider it light and momentary. It was just the blink of an eye. But it's not that way right now. So that is part of the reason that Christians have been called the people of promise. When we need encouragement, we go to the promises that we have in the Bible, and we lean on those promises. Promises such as God will always be with us, even in the darkest time. Promises that Jesus is the good cattle rancher who seeks the cattle and holds the calf in his arms and will leave 99 cows out in the field and go search for that one that is missing. We live on God's promises. And I just wanted to share one with you today that is very much worth being put on a magnet on your refrigerator. Well, it really is. And that is very much worth being put in your heart. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus says, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." Bow with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your promises. We give you thanks for your power. We have experienced it. You have been with us. You have been a good God. Father, be with us in times when it's difficult to see that. Remind us of your goodness. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all of us together say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, one verse with three promises. One is of hidden manna. If you remember the Israelites in the Old Testament as they traveled through the desert and needed food, perhaps some 2 million people, God gave them manna. In this hidden manna that God will give us when we die, I see the promise of life, eternal life. The white stone, that's the symbol of forgiveness. If you were in court in Jesus' day and you got acquitted of a crime, well, they couldn't put that on the television set for you to see. They would give you a white stone, and you would carry that white stone with you. And if people would say, "Now, were you in court? Were you guilty?" you would have your white stone. So the white stone is forgiveness. But I want to focus on the last part of that promise, which I think is awesome. It says, are you ready? That Jesus is going to give us a new name known only to us and God. Names matter. Shakespeare may have said, oh, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But I am telling you that names matter. Two things. One is that names allow us to know what the genuine article is. If you go to the store and you go into the seafood section and you buy something spelt K-R-A-B, that is because we have laws in this land. And the one thing that you can be absolutely sure of that is not in that package is crab. There's no crab in K-R-A-B. There's stuff that looks like crab, smells like crab, sort of tastes like crab, but it ain't crab. If you buy something called F-R-O-O-T, loops, let me tell you what's out of the loop. Fruit. You get no fruit. And I am amazed that in China, there's apparently this attraction to American businesses. And so to reach customers and make it seem like you're getting American stuff, they have, and this is the truth, are you ready? These are some of their companies. Sunbucks Coffee, Pizza Hut, King Burger. You can buy your clothes from Calvin Klein, and you can wash them in your Tid's laundry detergent. Names are about the genuine article. Names let us recognize what is really there. And I am amazed, read the scriptures. Think about all the times that God renames people. A man named Simon shows up, meets Jesus because his brother Andrew has met Jesus. So Simon shows up and meets him, and as soon as Jesus looks at him, he says, you know, I am looking at a rock. And in that day and age, rock was pronounced Cephas and was pronounced Peter. Jesus renamed Simon Peter. He is going to be the rock. And you've got to know that Andrew, his brother, had his jaw bouncing on the floor. This is the rock. I grew up with this dude. This is as far from a rock as you can be. Do you ever wonder if when the apostles were walking down the road together, every now and then someone would say, why do we have to call that guy the rock? Why is he Peter? He doesn't understand any better than we do. He constantly sticks his foot in his mouth. He's constantly saying things he should not say. And when push came to shove, on one very special night, when some people said, you know, you must know Jesus. On that very special night, three times, Peter says, I don't know the man, never met the man, don't know who he is. And the third time, did you catch that in order to make sure people would realize that he's telling the truth, that he never met Jesus, he's cursing as he talks. This is the rock. That's what God calls him. And when Jesus is raised from the dead, do you remember? Peter became a rock. He became a leader. He became the very pillar of the church. Peter was his name. And I'm glad that I serve a God who could recognize what the man's true name should be. God shows up. He's got a friend, known as his friend, who's 99 years old. And this 99-year-old man doesn't have any children by his wife. He has some children, but not by his wife. And God shows up and says, you know something? I think I'm going to start calling you Abraham. Why would you call me Abraham? Well, that name means the father of many nations. And if you remember, the 99-year-old man laughed. And then when his wife was told the news, she laughed. And a year after God met the man, maybe about 9 months after God met the man and said, "You're going to be the father of many nations," you know that he had a child. God met a man whose name meant deceiver. That's what his name meant. And we read the story of his life, and that's all he did. In fact, one of the big deceptions, when his father goes blind, he pulls a bunch of tricks to fool his father and steal from his father. It makes his brother so mad at him that mom comes to him and says, "You got to leave town. Your brother's going to kill you." I might have been that angry with the man. His name was Jacob. In Hebrew, that just means deceiver, and that's what he was. And we're not told in Scripture how much Jacob struggled with being a deceiver. Was there ever a time when he thought, "Boy, I wish that wasn't my name. Boy, I wished I hadn't have treated my brother that way. Man, I wished I hadn't treated my dad that way. If I could only change..." We're not told whether he wrestled or not, but we are told that one day God shows up and says, "You know, we're not going to call you Jacob any longer. We're going to call you Israel." E-L is the name for God in the Bible, so that name must have something to do with God. And do you remember what it means? I bet most of you do. What does Israel mean? Struggled with God or wrestled with God, either one, yes. So we know that this man wrestled with who he was and who his God was, and God saw it. He did not forget it. Names reveal the genuine article, and names reveal the genuine interior of who we are. There was a rough time in my life. I've mentioned before that there was a year of my life that I can actually look back on and say that was the worst year of my life. In that year, I met a lot of dream stealers, people that I thought were dream givers. They had, in fact, taught me to dream and who really worked to crush my dreams and pulled some dirty things to crush my dreams. But you know, one of the major pains of that year, when I look back and I think how horrible that year was, it wasn't the dream stealers. You've met dream stealers. It was the fact that my friends never saw how much pain I was in. They never got it. And I don't cast any blame. Those of you who know me know that it may have been a lot my fault that I didn't let my friends know what I was going through. But that always, always was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. It's just people not to see when I'm hurting. Have you ever felt that way? When Jesus says you get to heaven, God's going to give you his new name, and he's going to whisper it in your ear, you and God will be the only people that know that name. He's referring to a heavenly Father who understands everything that we're going through in our heart. Names are a part of relationship. My name is Charles Richard Cupp. And when I got here, I discovered there was another Charles Richard, and I was amazed because both of us go by the name Rick. Now, that's partly a pain. You go to school, and the teacher says, "So, should we call you Charles or Chuck, or what do you, call me Rick." Rick. And then they're looking at your name, but, "Oh, okay, I get how you can get that." So right away, if you call me on the phone, if somebody calls me on the phone and says, "Hello, I'd like to speak to Charles Cupp." Oh, this is a business. This is somebody who wants my money. This is somebody that doesn't know me. My friends call me Rick. If I hear Charles, I know what's going on. No relationship. And vice versa. This actually happened. It happened decades ago. I don't even remember what it was about. I needed to call the police for something. I either needed them to give me some advice or I needed them to show up at some place. I don't remember what it was. But when I make legal calls, when I sign legal papers, I know my name is Charles. So I call the dispatcher and I say, "Oh, this is Charles Cup. I need da 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 da." She said, "Okay, wait just a minute and I'll talk to an officer." So she talks to an officer. She comes back on the phone and she says, I don't even remember what the situation was, but I can quote this. She says, quote, "Okay, Rick, here's what we can do." And I thought, oh, I've either called a dispatcher who knows me or else the police knew me. Because I can guarantee you I did not say Rick. I did not. But she knew Rick. And when Karen and I played games at the house, and it's one of those games where you keep score, you know, she gets SP at the top for her name, and I get H for mine. It's a lot quicker. It's a lot easier. We've done that ever since we've been married, SPHH. And what that stands for is, you actually thought I was going to tell you. Look at your faces. You thought I would tell you what SP stands for. No way. Charles is for business. Rick is for my friends. SP is for that lady back there and no one else. And Jesus gives us an incredible promise. One day, we're going to get to heaven. And God, our Father, is going to whisper in our ear a name that's for him and us alone. That's a God who wants relationship. That's a sign of intimacy, and it's an incredible promise. You can put that on your refrigerator. Let's stand, let's sing.